If you have your Bibles, I hope you brought your Bibles to Bible study night. Yes. And you're going to go to the book of James. And tremendous services we had on Sunday. My Lord, it was powerful. It was awesome. Every service is powerful and awesome, but this last Sunday was just a little extra special. And I'm sure the children were blessed. And James chapter 3, reading from the 13th verse, going to pick up where I taught last. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness and, wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, lie not against the truth. This wisdom, somebody say this wisdom, is not from above or is not from God, but is earthly, it's fleshly, it's carnal, it's sensual, it's devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first, somebody say first, it's pure, we talked about that last time, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated. I'll talk about all three of those tonight. Full of mercy and good fruits. Bueno fruta, right? That's how you say it. Amen. Without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. I want to talk to you again on this thought, part two of wisdom from above. God bless you as you're seated in the presence of the Lord. James was the leader of the Jerusalem church while he was writing during the time of him penning this. And so the audience that he's writing to is to the first century Christians that were scattered abroad. James 1 and 1 tells us right from the get-go. James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ of the 12 tribes, notice this, which are scattered abroad, and he's greeting them. And the recipients of this letter were scattered out of Jerusalem and out of the Jerusalem church. So we know the infilling of the Holy Ghost, the day of Pentecost, church was started. And so they were scattered because persecution took place. And so in Acts 11 and 19, it tells us and says, now these which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as, and it gives names. And in fact, it gives one of those names is Antioch. And they were the first time we hear of Christians was in Antioch. And so this took place around Acts chapter 8 and 9. Because there was persecution by a man named Saul, and Acts 8 and 1 tells us, and Saul was consenting unto his death. At that time, there was a great persecution against the church was at Jerusalem. And so they began to be scattered. And notice where they scattered to, Judea and Samaria. And we can correlate that. We can piece together Acts chapter 1 and 8, and you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. And then look at that. It's Acts 8 and 1, and you can go to Acts 1 and 8. So it's easy to remember that. And you can piece that together. So the word of the Lord was taking place because, notice this, as for Saul, he made havoc of the church. And he would go into houses and hail men and women, committed them to prison. And so James is writing to these Christians that were scattered. They were Holy Ghost filled, baptized in Jesus' name. They were first generation, they were the first century church, and he's sending these letters to them. And many times, the book of James is referred to as the Proverbs of the New Testament. And so he at least on 19 occasions in this writing, in the five chapters, he calls them brethren and refers to them as brethren. In fact, it's in James 1 and 2, he says, brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. And so as you begin, if I hope you're reading James now in your Bible reading, but you understand that these Christians, our brothers and sisters, which we will meet someday in heaven, sooner than later. Thank the Lord for that. They were having some trials and tribulations in their walk with the Lord because of things that were going on amongst them. They were legitimately being persecuted, and so their church attendance, their Bible reading, their worship, their fellowship was being affected. Also, their minds and their emotions were being affected. No doubt their finances were being affected because they were scattered. They had to leave what they were used to, the normalcy of what they used to do. They had to leave that, and they were scattered. But when they went, they took the gospel with them. They took the Acts 2:38 message with them. They took the oneness of the Godhead with them. They took holiness with them. They took stewardship with them. It didn't stay in Jerusalem. It didn't stay there in the temple. It didn't stay there when they went house to house. No, it went with them. They were scattered abroad. They were fulfilling exactly what Jesus said they would do, that you would be witnesses unto me in Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And I'm so thankful. I say it often. I'm so thankful that the promise is still unto us and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And so James is writing to these Christians, and he's sharing with them, and he even tells them in James 1:8, it says, a double-minded man is unstable in some of, in all their ways. Somebody needs to understand that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And so we're gonna go to what we know is the wisdom from above. There's the wisdom of this world, which is what? Earthly, sensual, devilish, and then there's the wisdom that is from above. And that word wisdom, it comes from the Greek word, and it means wise or knowledge of what is true and right, coupled together with just judgment. And discernment and insight. And so when James tells us about who's a wise man, if you're wise, it says in the New Living Translation, and understand God's ways. So if you're living for the Lord and you're reading your Bible and you understand God's ways and you're coming to church on Wednesday nights, you need to prove it by living an honorable life in an unhonorable world. And because the standards of this world are not the standards of an apostolic Pentecostal believer.
That's right.
And so the wisdom that is above, we talked about last time, is first pure. But tonight we're going to talk about peaceable, gentle, and easily to be entreated. Notice this. First point I want to make tonight is your wisdom peaceable? Peaceable means not argumentative or hostile. Well, wish Brother Jose was here. He would say, right? Inclined or disposed to avoid dissension. That means that we aim to live with others and promote peace. The wise of this world are full of schemes, right? Stay on track, Pastor. They have plans for earthly gain and ambitions. It's doggy dog out there, right? No, it's like, I'll step on you as I step on the ladder, and then I'll forget about you. Drop the bomb on me, baby. It's a reality. And so, notice this. The wise of this world, they mention peace, but only if it doesn't crowd their space or interfere with their agenda. Well, just saying. But the wisdom that is from above, it's authentic. Because the Lord is peace. Right? Isaiah 9:6 says, the Prince of Peace. He the Lord gives what he is, and he is peace, so he gives peace. He even tells us in John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, but let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That's the reason why. Listen, this is very powerful. There's a reason why people of this world have no peace, yet we're all in the same bucket together. There's nobody escaping. There is nobody in this world escaping what we're all going through. It's affecting them different. And some have lost their ever-loving mind. Others didn't have much to give because they were giving out their 2 cents all last year, and now they're bankrupt right now, right? They have nothing else to give. But the church is still the peace in the midst of a storm because he gives us peace. In fact, when you go and look, well, I think I have it in here later on, but you go back and look at that scripture, and I want to say it's 14 and 26, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. That's why if you have the Holy Ghost, it doesn't only just change your life in a relationship with the Lord. It is the peace. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is my peace. So we being his children, remember we are his children. You're the daughter of the Lord. You're the son of the Lord. And filled with his Spirit, are able to be led of the Spirit. And so therefore the peace of God ought to be manifested in our lives. Amen. Look at this. You can disagree with somebody. You can have a difference of opinion, yeah. Right? Because everybody has an opinion. Yeah. You should be able to have. And notice this. You should be able to have a fact-filled, productive conversation with somebody and still be friends with them and keep the peace. Right? I know that's not the standard of this world. They want you to pick sides. Well, we're not picking sides. We're on the Lord's side. We're seeking first the kingdom. And so that's why we need to ensure that we are walking in the Spirit, living in the Spirit, and we are heeding the wisdom that's from above. This wisdom doesn't change. It hasn't changed. It's not going to change. Come on, somebody. There's no need to shun or shame or gossip about somebody simply because they don't agree with your opinion. That's the standards of this world. That's the wisdom of the devil. That's the wisdom of sin. But we're not that way. We make sure that we keep the peace, that our conversation is pure, that we're not a doormat, but neither do we have to. We are not a garbage truck either for everybody's opinion. Amen. Doesn't matter if they're a believer or not. There is no such thing, this is going to surprise some of you, there is no such thing as argumentative soul winning or discipleship. Right? The Bible tells us in Proverbs 11 and 30, he that winneth souls is wise. Argumentativeness is not a spiritual gift. Right? Having to blast your opinion and share every article that you can find to justify your perception and to go at it with somebody on social media while everyone else stands and watches and says, wow, I thought she was a Christian. I thought they went to church. Man, my goodness, is that how they treat one another? No, the devil is a liar. That is not peace. That is not the wisdom of this world. Well, it's getting quiet in here. You got to understand, saints, that we are living in an amazing time in history and in the church. Amen. But the apostle tells us in Ephesians, he goes on to tell us, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And then he keeps going on, redeeming the time for the days are evil. Amen. But he goes on to tell us, walk circumspectly. Yeah. Be careful. You know, the dime is really small, but it's worth more than the big quarter. Yeah. Cuidado. Better watch out. You can't promote fear and faith at the same time. No, you can't. That's not the wisdom of this world. You know, you can't propagate, just pray and trust God, and then go hide behind the wisdoms of this world. Can't get into heaven having 1 foot in the church or 1 foot out of the church. No. Connect with God on Sundays, then live like hell the rest of the week. Nope. James was writing to our brothers and sisters that were dealing with realities in a lot of ways of some of the things that we're headed towards. And he's writing to them. And these brothers and sisters, some of them were homeless, didn't have jobs. They were immigrants to other areas. They were the missionaries where they were going, and they were taking the gospel with them. Some of them having to learn new customs, new language. Their new norm was hosting Bible studies. Their new norm was being the worshiper. The Jerusalem church was big. It was powerful. It was where it all started. But somewhere the Lord said, in order to get this to scatter, in order to get the message to scatter, there's got to be some persecution, and there's got to be a man by the name of Saul who's as ruthless as they come. But he's gonna see the light, and I'm gonna transform him, and he's gonna preach and teach, and I'm gonna use him to do miracles, and he's gonna write, and he's gonna share, and he's gonna proclaim some things, because I got to get the word of God to California. I got to get it to America. I got to get it to Asia. It's got to get all across the world. And that's what we're seeing taking place right now. We're using social media. We're using YouTube. We're on the radio. There's people that are on the street corner. And what we're doing is we're proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. But greater than that, we are the ambassadors. Amen. Wherever we go. Amen. And we ought to be propagating the wisdom from above. Amen. Right? Let's not forget where God brought us from.
Exactly.
What he saved us from.
Amen.
What he delivered us from. What he's healed us from and kept us from.
Yes.
We don't take a day off from being a Christian.
That's right?
I'm meddling now, but what if the Lord took a day off? What he said, oh, sorry, I can't hear your prayer today because I've already answered enough prayers.
Wow.
I'm on vacation today, so you know, just dress. I'm going to dress a different way. I'm going to act a different way. I'm going to go places that I normally wouldn't go when I'm in Santa Maria because, you know, it's a small town. But no, we cannot take a day off when we're serving the Lord. We live holy, we dress holy, we talk holy. Come on, somebody. Wisdom from above. I'm gonna say this, and this is not a rebuke. This is just pastor waving the flag. Is that okay? I still am the pastor, right? Is that okay? All right. But this season has challenged so many people as to their faithfulness to church. And I'm going to put in parentheses their engagement to church. Their stewardship, their prayer life, especially this last phase that we just gone through. I told you guys what I felt, what I perceived, what I discerned in the Spirit. And I'm telling you again, it's going to close in a little bit more. I'm telling you, mark my words tonight. I'm not a prophet. I'm not a son of a prophet. I'm just telling you, things are gonna close a little bit in, and we've got to walk with wisdom. Colossians 4 and 5 says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. There's ever been a time to be a disciple maker. It's now.
Yeah.
Use wisdom when you're surrounded by the unbelievers.
Amen.
Notice this. Part of our responsibility is to be peaceable. Romans 12 and 18 says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with some men, all men, with all men. Look, we know folks that are hostile. They're narcissistic. They're possessive. They need to be in control. They'll take over whatever you allow them to take over. But yes, even them, we need to do our best to be peaceable. Even when they don't measure up to your beliefs or standards.
Yes, right.
1 Peter 3 and 11 says, eschew evil, do good, seek peace, and ensue it. Notice this. Hebrews 12 and 14 says, follow peace with some men, all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Second point is, be gentle. Be gentle. A person possessing the wisdom from above will be gentle and not rude and hurtful to others. Rude means you're discourteous, unmannerly, rough in behavior. You're impolite, especially in a deliberate way. Notice this. That's the wisdom from the world. It's earthly, it's sensual, it's devilish. Cutting in line. Oh, you lost your place. You know, cutting people off. Drop your wallet and never see it again. Right? But we got to be gentle. Gentle giants. Right? Gentle means mild, moderation, kind, not severe or violent. Gentle is doesn't mean you just talk to people any old way. Nowhere in the scripture text does it say to be mean or rude or disrespectful or roll your eyes. You're like, oh, girl. Uh-huh. Yeah. No, it doesn't say that. It doesn't say that you can't get mad. It would do some of you some good to get mad. To get mad at sin and get mad at the devil. To get frustrated that you didn't pray enough. The Bible says in Ephesians 4 and 26, be angry and sin not. There's another thing we could all do better. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Please heed to that, especially during this day and hour. Anger is an emotion. It's a strong feeling. But notice this. If you keep reading that scripture text in Ephesians 4 and 26, it continues. You notice that there's a continuation there. There's what do you call those two dots there? Colon. Thank you. Smarter than the seventh graders. Thank you, baby. Thank you. But it says in Ephesians 4 and 27, neither give place to the devil. Right. I sure hope we'll get that sermon up from Sunday. It'll get up there. That'll help a lot of you out. To shake it off in Jesus' name, right? To shake it off. But your adversary, which is the devil, he'll try to influence your mind and irritate your spirit. Did you catch that? Your adversary will try to influence your mind and irritate your spirit. But watch and pray that you don't give him any room in your spirit or in your mind. Amen. Pressures and stress and tribulations and the word no and change reveals a lot about a person. Right? You tell a little kid no in a candy store. Right? Right? But no's an answer. Some of us asking the Lord for stuff and he's just saying no. Right? You're asking him, Lord, I will you strengthen me? And he's putting you in situations to strengthen you. Yeah. And you're walking around, oh, poor baby, right? You're praying, Lord, strengthen me. And so he puts you in a trial to strengthen you. Lord, bless me. So he puts you in a situation where the scripture says it's more blessed to give than to receive. All the blessed people say amen. Amen. The positioning and the posture of the blessed people is that they're getting and then they're giving out and then their hands are open to receive more. They're not coming to the Lord closed-fisted, but they're coming to him with open arms and saying, Lord, whatever you can trust me with, I'll be satisfied and I'll give because you're going to give back to me. Press down, shake it over, run it over. You're going to give it to me, Lord, because that's the wisdom that is from above. Change is inevitable, right? If you don't like change, well, man, you need to wear two seatbelts. Because change is going to happen, and it happens quick. And the pressures and stress of being a human is just what it is. And in fact, the psalmist tells us in Psalm 34 and 19, some of the afflictions of the righteous, right? Oh, many are the afflictions of the righteous. But the Lord, pero Dios, right? Delivers him out of them all. Tribulation and trouble is what Jesus told us was going to happen. He said, if you're going to live in this world, notice this. In John 16, 33, in the world you shall have tribulation. Some of you are saying, I've been married to him for 29 years. But it says, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Can you hear me now? Look, listen. Everybody is dealing with something.
For sure.
Everybody is dealing with something. Amen. I would say an amen real loud so the Lord don't bring something. Lay it on your doorstep when you get home. There's something. Oh, right? But be gentle. Be gentle with one another's in our words. But most importantly, in our actions.
Yeah.
Right? How about our nonverbal communications? Rolling the eyes. I talked about that. Some of you get good exercise with your eyes, right? Slamming doors. Road rage. Mad dogging somebody, right? Just mad dogging them under your mask. I guess that's okay. You're being mean to their kids because you got a problem with their parents. Right? That's not being gentle. That's earthly. That's sensual. That's devilish.
Amen.
That's not pure. No. That's not peace. That's not gentleness.
Yeah, right.
Right? I mean, notice this. Right now we have an opportune time to let our light shine like never before.
Yeah.
Never before. And I'm thankful that we have some normalcy. In some areas, you know, you can go get a haircut whenever you want now, and go eat at a restaurant. And I even saw people inside Starbucks yesterday when I drove by. There was people inside. I was like, "Wow, it's pretty cool." You know, they're in there like normal people. And but if you haven't noticed, the labor force is really thin.
Yeah.
Everybody is hiring.
Yeah.
And I just picked just a few categories. But these cashiers and these waitresses and the baristas and the clerks and the phone operators and God bless the school teachers.
Yes,
hey, they're showing up. They're doing their best and things are moving as fast for them as they are for us. So be gentle with them.
Yeah.
Right? I'll even go on and say something. Tip them well. Don't just tell them, oh, wear your seatbelt when you're getting your car. But tip 10%. They're dealing with stress, with attitudes, with issues, with uncertainties and addictions at home. And they're showing up and working. And guess what? They don't need somebody that's proclaiming to be a Christian come in and act like everyone else. But they need, we ought to be like fresh air when we go in and say, oh, something's different. And I know it's not your cologne or your perfume. It's your demeanor. It's your attitude. It's your disposition. Nah, it's called the Holy Ghost. Jesus on the inside of me. It's called peace. It's called being gentle. They don't have the privilege yet to come to RT on Wednesday night and to be encouraged and convicted. They don't have a prayer team that's teaching them and showing them and leading them in prayer. They don't know yet what it's like to come and lay their burdens down at the Lord. They're not a part of Stronger Families Ministries yet. They haven't attended an RT ladies gathering. Their kids don't haven't gone to RT kids yet. You got to think about how blessed we are as the people of God to be saved and for God to use us for such a time as this. James 3 and 13 says, who is a wise man? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. I like this scripture, Philippians 4 and 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand.
Yeah.
New Living Translation says, let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon.
Amen.
Meanness is not appealing.
No, it's not.
Unless you're on the football field, right? And meanness is not how we reach the lost or encourage anyone unto love and good works. And it's not a spiritual gift.
No.
And it's not mentioned in Galatians chapter 5. But gentleness is. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness. Titus 3 and 2 tells us to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle. Gentle. Notice James 3 and 17. I think we're going to make it. The wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated. Means you're willing to yield to others. Point three is wisdom from above is reasonable. You remember reading somewhere in the scripture it says, which is your reasonable service, right?
Yeah.
Then it goes, I think it says something like this, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed.
Amen.
Right? Romans 12 and 1, just in case you're wondering. This is a lot of wisdom there,
yeah.
Right?
Amen.
Easy to be entreated means you're not stubborn. You have a yielding disposition. You're not indifferent. You're easily managed. People should want you to work for them.
Yeah,
might be trying to transfer you out of the department.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, I can't stand her. Right? Gotta send them multiple text messages just to get their attention, you know? Gotta tell them I sent you an email 2 weeks after I sent the email to get a response done. No, that is not reasonable. Notice this. Luke 6 and 31. Some will call this the golden rule, right? And as you would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. It's powerful. Right? Easily to be entreated means that you're willing to have reconciliation when differences arise. You're ready to meet and have reconciliation. Oh, no, I'm not talking to her. No. You come talk to me, I'll tell you what really happened. Right? No. We don't play by the same playbook as sin. The wisdom of this world is what? Devilish, it's sensual, and it's earthly, it's carnal, right? Notice this. That means we say please and thank you. Strevis, is this okay? Is this too old school?
No.
We say please and thank you, right? We say, Brother Parr, we say please and thank you. We're the children of God. We ought to be the happiest people. After you get coffee in the morning, you ought to be the happiest person. I can understand before the first two cups, but after you have your first two cups, you ought to be the happiest person because you've read your Bible and you've prayed and you're saying, this is the day the Lord has made.
Yeah.
Right?
Amen.
Colossians 3 and 15 says, let the peace of God, notice this, rule in your hearts. You do a Bible study just on that. To which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful only during Thanksgiving time, right? Tax time. No. It's be thankful. It's okay to be thankful when someone does something nice to you. Be thankful. They send you flowers. They say hi and they wave at you across the supermarket. Praise the Lord, good to see ya. Hey, it's be thankful. Be happy. Well, they go to another church. Who cares? They're my brother. They're my sister. I'm thankful. I want to see them. There's not a separate heaven for the Pentecostals. No, there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, Father of all, who's above all, through all, and in us all. Let's be thankful. I'm beside myself on the unthankfulness of some people. But Paul told Timothy it was going to happen.
Yeah.
He said, I'm thankful.
Yeah.
Right? The wisdom from above understands Hebrews 13 and 16. Notice this. To do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. We ought not to have a what have you done for me lately attitude. That's the wisdom of this world, which is devilish, which is earthly, which is sensual. But the Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 18, in everything give thanks. Anybody tell me what it says next? It's convicting. It's powerful.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't say concerning the leadership.
No.
The pastor should be thankful, you know. Sunday school teacher should be thankful. Sister Ellen ought to be thankful that I'm singing. No. It says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God.
Yes.
Concerning you. You want to know what the will of God is concerning you? Be thankful. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. What do you say we do that right now? That we lift our hands and we be thankful.